John chapter 15, verses 1 to 17 on page 1083. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. Okay, let me pray, and then we'll hear more about that passage. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time we have now to consider your word, to hear you speak through it. We pray, Father, that you would be with us by your Holy Spirit, illuminating your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So we come this Sunday to the last of the I am sayings in John's Gospel. Like last Sunday, Jesus said this I am saying while he was with his disciples for the last time before his death and resurrection. And these are his final words to his disciples before he goes to the cross. So they're very important. And Jesus says to his disciples three things. He says, I am the vine, remain in me, and you will bear much fruit. So let's take these in turn. Firstly, Jesus says, I am the true vine. If you look at verse 1 with me, Jesus says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. Now this picture of a vine would have been familiar to Jesus' Jewish disciples, because several times in the Old Testament, God's people Israel is referred to as a vine. For example, in Psalm 80, God says, you brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. This is talking about God. It says, you cleared the ground for it, and it took root and filled the land. So here we see that God brought Israel out of Egypt like a vine, and he planted it in the promised land. And so far, so good. But if you read the Old Testament, you'll find that God's people messed up again and again. They were really stubborn and really rebellious. And so later, we hear God's people described like this. I planted you like a choice vine of sound and reliable stock. How then did you turn against me into a corrupt wild vine? So here we see that God's people were stubborn and rebellious, and they were a bad vine. And God is lamenting the fact that they've turned against him. So God's people were meant to be like a healthy vine that produced fruit, but instead they were a sick vine that produced bad fruit or no fruit. Now this puts into context what Jesus is saying here. Because if you look again with me at verse 1, Jesus says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. So in this dark, desperate situation steps the Saviour, Jesus Christ. And he says that he is the true vine. He's saying that God's promise to bless all the nations is still valid. Jesus is saying that what Israel failed to do, he has come to do instead. Jesus will be the healthy vine that produces healthy fruit. And friends, this is really good news. Jesus has come to fulfill God's promise to bless all nations. You see, God originally created this world that we live in perfect. And the reason why it's so messed up and broken is because people, humanity, we've turned our backs on God. And that is why all the bad things happen. However, God is calling people from all nations to worship the true vine, Jesus. And they are. The church in China, I don't know if you knew, but it's absolutely exploded. And there are over 60 million Christians in China now. And in Africa, 80% of people living there are Christian. And Christianity worldwide, there are 2.2 billion adherents. That's a third of the world population. And one day, all of these people who have put their trust in the true vine, Jesus Christ, will be with him in a perfect world called heaven. And here's the amazing thing. God wants his people to play their part in this big thing he's doing in history. So verse 1, Jesus says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. So Jesus is the vine and his followers are the branches. As branches, we bear fruit by playing our part in God's big plan to bless all nations with salvation in Jesus. And one way this happens is that we get involved sharing the good news about Jesus. And this is why at this church, one of our four values is disciple making. So we are calling people of all nations to faith and maturity in Christ. And sometimes this will feel difficult when people reject us. But in God's hand, rejection is one of the ways he prunes us to be bolder in our dependence on Jesus. So at this church, we're joyfully committed to sharing the good news about Jesus Christ. Jesus says he's the true vine. Secondly, he says, remain in me. So that's verses 3-7. He says, remain in me. So having said to his disciples that he's the true vine, he now spells out the consequences. So look at verse 3. Jesus says, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Now this is the amazing gospel. Jesus says to his disciples, you're already clean. Because every religion in the world is about earning your way to God. Whereas the gospel tells us that we're already clean. Jesus has already done the work for us. So that we're already in a right relationship with God. And so there's one thing we need to do, which is remain in Jesus. So if you look at verse 4, Jesus says, remain in me as I've also remained in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. So the picture here is clear. A branch needs to be attached to a stem in order to remain alive and produce fruit. And in the same way, a Christian needs to remain attached to Jesus in order to remain a believer and produce fruit. Verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So the purpose of a vine is to produce fruit. And Jesus says to his disciples, if you remain in me, you will produce lots of fruit. However, verse 6, Jesus says, if you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. So if you don't remain in Jesus, you won't produce any fruit at all. And you will be like a branch that is thrown away and put on the bonfire. So here's a stern warning from Jesus. If someone tries to live the Christian life by their own efforts, they will fall away. They'll be destroyed. We need to remain in Jesus in order to bear fruit. We need to depend on Jesus, but not on ourselves. If we live a Jesus-dependent life, the consequences will be amazing. If you look at verse 7, Jesus says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. So here's an amazing promise from Jesus, that if we ask whatever we wish, it will be done for us. We'll think about that more in a minute. But for now, see that Jesus is the true vine. And Christians are branches in that vine. And as they remain in the vine, they produce fruit. So how do Christians remain in Jesus? Well, mainly through his word, the Bible. So another value we have at this church is sound teaching. We're committed to teaching the whole Bible clearly and faithfully. Because if you saw that in verse 7, Jesus says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you. So the way we remain in Jesus is through listening to his word taught. And that's why we have a sermon at church. We're committed to that. And it's why we have our midweek Bible fellowship, so we can hear from God's word during the week. And it's why, as well, we encourage everyone here to be reading the Bible every day for themselves. And there are lots of ways you can do that. There are Bible study notes you could use to read the Bible. On your phone, if you've got a phone, you could get an app. The YouVersion, which sends you daily notifications. And there's also the audio Bible. So you can go online and there's the Bible Gateway and you can hear the Bible read to you, which is a lovely way of hearing Jesus speaking and remaining in him. So Jesus says, I am the true vine, remain in me. And thirdly, he says, you will bear much fruit. So that's verses 8 to 13. You will bear much fruit. So look at verse 8. Jesus says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So as Christians worship the true vine, Jesus, and remain in him through his word, they will bear much fruit, showing themselves to be genuine followers. So what is the fruit Jesus is talking about here? What is the fruit? One Bible teacher says it this way. He says, the fruit is everything done in the conformity to the will of Jesus Christ, not least praying and loving. So as we live a life that is dependent on Jesus, we will bear fruit. And two particular ways we'll do this is through prayer and through love. So firstly, through prayer. Look again at verse 7 with me. Jesus says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. So here's an amazing promise from Jesus. Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. But it's not like an Aladdin's lamp. It's not like we rub the lamp and the genie comes up and says, what do you want? And we say anything. It's not like, say we want a Lamborghini, he'll give us a Lamborghini. I'm afraid that's not what he's saying. He's saying remaining in him is about being in close union with him. So our desires become in line with God's desires, so that the things we ask for are exactly what God wants to give us. So Jesus says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, then ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. So another value we have at this church is that we're prayer driven. We depend on God for everything through the privilege of prayer. Prayer is a wonderful thing. Through prayer, we speak to the Lord of the universe. And if we're in a close relationship with him, there is nothing he won't do for us. And one thing we know that Jesus is committed to is building his church. So that is why we have a monthly prayer meeting at this church, to ask God to build his church in Catford. And we know that this is a prayer that God is delighted to answer. And it's great if we can pray at other times too. Zim and I have a short time of prayer after doing exercise in Mansfield Park. And Helen and I, we pray with each other on Sunday mornings. And personally, I set aside each time each day to connect with God through prayer. And it's worth doing this because when we pray, God will answer us and we will bear fruit. Someone has said this. Prayer is one of the main ways in which we abide. It's how we increase our dependence upon God. Because without him, we can't do anything. So we bear fruit by praying. And secondly, we bear fruit by loving. We bear fruit by loving. Look again at verse 9. Jesus says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. So Jesus is saying that he loves his disciples in the same way that God the Father loves him, with an eternal love. And the disciples are called to remain in Jesus' love. How are they going to do that? Look at verse 10. Jesus says, if you keep my commands, you'll remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. So we obey Jesus, and by doing that we remain in his love. Now, I grew up in a family of boys. I'm the youngest of three brothers, so a bit like the Quinn family. Exactly like the Quinn family. We had a mum, a dad, and three boys. And at mealtimes, we used to sit around the table, and my dad was at the head of the table, and then my mum and my brothers were around the side of the table. And we got a new floor in our dining room, and as a result, I'm a fidgety person. I used to get up and used to screech along the floor. And my dad said to me, "Guy, could you stop? Could you stop screeching your chair along the floor? Could you pick your chair up when you get up?" And I had a choice at that point. I could either obey my dad's request or I could disobey him. And because I love my dad, I really tried to stop making that noise. And as a result, me and my dad, we continue to have a good relationship. And it's the same with Jesus. We show we love Jesus by keeping his commands, by obeying him. And as a result, we continue to have a happy, healthy relationship with Jesus. But it's not about earning a relationship with God. It's about living as children of God, because we're already secure in our relationship. We already know that God loves us, so we want to obey. Okay. So it's by obeying Jesus that we remain in his love. And this will make us happy. Look at verse 11. Jesus says, "I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." So this world is looking for happiness. In fact, at my workplace, I had a course on happiness, how to be happy. But you see, the problem is, they're looking in the wrong place. They're telling us we should look inside ourselves to find happiness. But we will not find it there. The Christian privilege is to have Jesus' joy within us, which is an eternal, never-ending joy. Did you see that? Jesus says in verse 11, "I've told you this so that my joy may be in you." So the secret to happiness is to have Jesus' joy within us. So we bear fruit by remaining in Jesus' love. But it's not just loving Jesus that we're called to. It's also loving each other. So in verse 12, Jesus says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you." So we bear fruit, showing ourselves to be Jesus' disciples by loving each other. So our final value as a church is that we're community loving. We're relationally seeking the good of one another and our local community. Now, I grew up in a loving home, which I'm very thankful for. But it wasn't until I left home that I fully realised that this world is a rough, tough place and people aren't always nice to you. And it was Christians I met on my gap year and at university that stood out to me. They were kind, friendly, reliable people. And this attracted me to church. And I went on an Alpha course in Bristol, where I'm from, in 2002, and it was the highlight of my week. I couldn't wait to hang out with these Christians. These Christians were loving each other as Jesus has loved them. And it was so attractive. So what does that look like in practice? How do we love each other like Jesus has loved us? Well, look at verse 13. Jesus says, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." So Jesus laid down his life for us on the cross, and he calls us to do the same for each other. This won't come naturally to any of us. We need God's help to love each other like this. So again, it's only as we live lives that are dependent on Jesus that we can do this, that we can love like this. Verse 14, Jesus says, "You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love each other As friends of Jesus, we bear fruit by praying and loving. Jesus says he is the true vine. He is the fulfillment of God's promise to draw people from all nations to know God. And this is what the world needs to hear. Jesus tells his followers to remain in him. Like branches attached to the vine, Christianity is about a relationship with Jesus. And it is as we read God's word, the Bible, that we get to know God better. And Jesus tells his followers that as they remain in him, like branches attached to the vine, they will bear much fruit. And this will happen when we depend on God through prayer, and it will also happen as we sacrificially love one another. Let me pray.